Praise the Lord that I'm able to, even in New Jersey, share in our worship this morning.
感谢神，虽然我现在在新泽西，但是也可以跟弟兄姊妹在早晨一起敬拜。
Every time that we run into a weather event like this, very special times, I still feel that God wants to draw the hearts of His children closer to Him.
虽然哪怕是在下雪的这样特别的时间，我的心里感觉神仍然是让我弟兄姊妹吸引弟兄姊妹与主更亲近。
So.Praise the Lord. He gave us a new theme for this coming year, which is on this rock, I will build my church.
赞美神在新年里他给我们这样一个新的主题，就是我要将教会建立在磐石上。
Our dear brothers have in the past several weeks shared several introductions on this topic.
我们不同的弟兄在过去的几周里已经在这个题目上面给我们有一些开始的介绍的信息。
So may we spend this entire new year meditating on God's will for us and allowing Him to reveal His purposes among us.
但愿我们在这个新的一年里一同祷告，来让主将他的旨意心意向我们启示出来。
So at the end of 2025, Brother Lucio had shared on the relationship between Christ and the church.
在2025年底的时候，路西欧弟兄跟我们分享关于基督和教会之间的关系。
And so he used Adam and Eve as a picture of Christ and the church.
他用亚当和夏娃作为基督与教会的预表这样的。
And just as Eve was taken from Adam's side or his rib, the church is the bone of his bones and the flesh of his flesh.
就像夏娃是从亚当的肋骨取出造出来的，同样教会也是基督的骨中之骨，肉中之肉。
So we share the same origin in life as Christ.
所以我们生命的源头是跟耶稣相同，从基督那里来。
So in the same way, Peter or Petros, and the rock Petra, we share the same origin and material.
同样就像好像是那个小石头。所以那个 Petra 大磐石，我们的源头是一样的。
We know Peter said, "You are the Christ," and Jesus said, "You are Peter."
大家记得彼得说对耶稣说你是基督，然后耶稣对彼得说你是基法那个小石头。
So we were created in God's image according to His likeness. So we ought to share in His character.
我们本是按着神的形象和样式造的，我们应当分享神的性情。
So before we move on, why don't we turn to two passages, and I want to read before we start to share.
在我们开始之前，我们先读两处的圣经。
The first section from Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 through 8.
第一处是《腓立比书》第二章第五节到第八节。
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found inappearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
腓立比书第二章五到八节，你们当以基督耶稣的心为心，他本有神的形象，不以自己与神同德为强夺，反倒虚己，取了奴仆的形象，成为人的样式，既有人的样子，就自己卑微，存心顺服，以至于死，且死在十字架上。
So let us noticeEspecially verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death.
我们特别注意第八节，就自己卑微，存心顺服，以至于死。
And the second passage is from Isaiah 53, very familiar to us.
另一处经节是在以赛亚书第53章。
Verses 6 and 7.
第六节和第七节。
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led like led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth.
以赛亚书五十三章第六节到第七节，我们都如羊走迷，个人偏行己路。耶和华使我们众人的罪孽都归在他身上。他被欺压，在受苦的时候却不开口。他像羊羔被牵到宰杀之地，又像羊在剪毛人的手下无声，他也是这样不开口。
So let's notice here in verse 7 that under oppression and affliction, our Lord opened not his mouth.
我们看第七节，他被欺压在受苦的时候却不开口。
And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, the Lord did not open his mouth.
又像羊在剪毛的人手下无声，他也是这样不开口。
So as we begin, let me ask you a few questions.
当我开始的时候，想问弟兄姊妹一些问题。
So if you come to a building, and I want to ask, what do you notice first about the building?
如果你到一个建筑物里，我想问你，你首先你看到建筑物里的是什么呢？
Well, you probably look at the building's appearance first, how tall it is and where the entrance way is.
你很可能先注意它的外面的样子，它有多高，有多长，入口如何。
How magnificent the building may be, or perhaps how desolate it looks.
无论这个建筑物是多么的漂亮美丽，或者是多么的难看破旧。
Then when you walk in, what do you look at?
当你走进之后呢，你看到的是什么呢？
Maybe you notice how many rooms there are in it, or how the rooms are decorated.
可能你会注意到有多少个房间，房间是怎么样装饰的。
And the arrangement of the furniture and how the things are arranged in the building.
建筑物是怎么样摆设的，房子里的东西是怎么样搭配的。
So, perhaps this is what you notice when you walk up to a building.
可能你会到一个房间建筑物前，你会有这样的注意。
But when you stand in front of a building, do you ever think about its foundation?
但是你在一个建筑物的面前的时候，你有没有想过它的根基呢？
Some of you might, but when you go inside the building, would you actually inspect its foundation?
可能我们当中有的人会想到，但是当你走到这个建筑物的里面的时候，你会不会检查一下它的根基呢？
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you might go down to the basement, but you probably wouldn't actually inspect the foundation itself.
我觉得可能虽然你会到建筑物的里面，但是我想大多数的人不会来检查这个建筑物的根基。
So some of you may know that I studied architecture in college.
大家有的人可能知道我在大学的时候是学建筑的。
And my current job relates to preserving historic buildings.
我现在的工作就跟就是保留修理这些历史的建筑物有关。
When we visit a historic building, before we see anything else, we often walk down to see its foundation.
当我们到一些历史性的建筑物里面，在我们看其他事情之前，我们都会检查它的根基。
Because things may change above ground, where the building you see, but the foundation is usually original, and it would tell us, for example, the actual time period when the structure was built.
虽然外面的楼里面的很多东西都会变化，但是呢，关于这些历史建筑物的根基是不会变化的。从这些根基的话，你可以看出它所建造的年代。
But even without an architectural background, I think we all understand the foundation, essentially the bottom line of any structure.
虽然我们可能不了解的不多，但我们看到，我们知道这个根基是所有一切的。基础上面所有一切的结构的基础。
Even a toddler building with Lego blocks, he would know that the strong base to any of his structure is essential.
可能一个小孩童他做那个乐高的时候，他可能也知道建造乐高那下面一个坚固的根基是所有结构的基础。
So today, let's meditate on the foundation of the church.
今天让我们来默想一下教会的根基。
Jesus gave clear instruction to Peter, when he said, "On this rock I will build my church."
耶稣给彼得一个清楚的一个解释。
The church of God.
就是说神的教会在这个根基上我要建造神的教会。
The church of God must be built on Jesus Christ, the rock.
神教会的根基必须是耶稣基督他的大磐石。
He is the church's foundation.
他是教会的根基。
The foundation, as we know, is the hidden part of any building.
我们知道这个根基是所有建筑物那里隐藏看不见的地方。
And what's built upon it is the visible manifestation.
那建在这根基上面的是让我们能看见的部分。
So likewise, as the church, we must cultivate, develop a deep and hidden relationship with the rock, Jesus Christ.
所以作为教会，我们必须要培养、发展建造一个与我们根基我们的磐石主耶稣基督一个深的和隐藏稳固的关系。
So that we can manifest the beauty and the character of Christ.
这样我们就能够彰显主耶稣基督的美丽和性情。
And as a golden lampstand that shine in this world.
然后在这个世界里做一个金灯台在这里发光。
So, brothers, sisters, I want to ask you, do you have a hidden relationship with God?
弟兄姊妹们，我想问你，你是否与神有一个隐藏的关系呢？
You know, we show our best faces on Sundays.
我们知道我们在主日的时候把我们最好的一面展现出来。
You know, although I can't see you through the virtual world, but I'm sure you're the ones, brothers and sisters there are smiling.
虽然我在这现在看不到，在网上看不到弟兄姊妹的现场，但是我相信我能想到弟兄姊妹在那里在那里笑脸的样子。
We gather on the Lord's day, we pray, we praise God, we read His words.
我们在主日聚集，我们赞美神，我们读神的话，我们感谢神。
But when we step out of church and we wake up on Monday morning.
但是当我们从教会离开，我们星期一早晨醒来的时候。
Do we think about God?
我们是否在想神呢？
Do we look forward to communing with the Lord and being quenched and nourished by His words?
我们有没有在盼望与主有交通，然后让他的话语来让我们喂饱，来干渴，使我们解我们的渴呢？
On a personal level, our foundation is the hidden life with Christ.
在我们个人的方面，我们的根基是在基督里隐藏的生命。
We all know that God is infinite, and no words can fully describe Him.
我们知道神是无限的，没有什么话能够完全描述他。
Christ's attributes are so vast that, as the hymn says, even if the ocean were ink and the sky parchment, they could not be fully recorded.
基督的性情，基督的属性是那么样多，就像诗歌的作者说，哪怕用海洋做墨水，用天做纸张，他们都不能够足够来记录基督的性情。
And as we contemplate on the Lord's words to Peter, on this rock I will build my church.
当我们默想主对彼得所说的话，在这个磐石上我要建造我的教会。
Well, I will use my limited words today to touch on a few characteristics of Christ.
今天我要用我有限的话语来描述主耶稣的一些的性情。
That we can learn together how to build the church upon him.
我们能够学习如何在他的上面来建造教会。
So God willing, let's review some of the characters of the Lord, the rock.
若神愿意，神带领我们能够一同来回复关于基督我们的磐石他的一些性情。
So we can catch a glimpse of the glorious church as it exists in God's heart and mind.
这样我们就能够稍微知道神心中在神心意当中的关于那荣耀的教会的一瞥。
So the first attribute I want to share regarding our Lord is his obedience.
所以关于我们主他的第一个性情我想分享的就是他的顺服。
Well, we read from the Philippians 2 passage on that he humbled himself, he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
我们读到腓立比书第二章的经节，我们的主耶稣如何谦卑自己，他顺服以至于死，死在十字架上。
So these verses are very familiar to us, and they're often recited during our worship.
这些经节我们大家都很熟悉，有的时候在敬拜的时候，我们也常常背诵这样的经节。
But the key word in the passage is obedience.
这段经节的重点的关键词就是顺服。
But in Romans 5:19, it declares, but for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous.
在罗马书第五章十九节讲到说，因一人的悖逆，众人成为罪人；照样因一人的顺服，众人也成为义了。
We recognize the first Adam chose disobedience, and through that disobedience, a sin entered into the world.
我们知道，首先的亚当他选择了不顺服，然后因着他的不顺服，罪就进入了世界。
And we as the descendants of the first Adam.We all share in this fallen condition.
我们作为起初亚当的后裔，我们都有这样的堕落犯罪的一个天性。
Disobedience is the root of sin.
不顺服是罪的源头。
Every act of sin, no matter how small it may seem, it begins with a refusal to submit to God's will.
每一样的犯罪，不管是它有多小，它开始的时候都是因为它拒绝顺服于神的旨意。
When we preach the gospel to non-believers, we often rely heavily on our logic and our culture.
很多时候，当我们传福音给不信主的人的时候，很多时候我们都是依靠着我们的道理、理性、推理，或者是我们的文化。
We use our philosophy or our human reasoning to try to persuade them.
我们用哲学或者是人的推理来试图说服别人。
While these tools may be useful, we must not forget that we have to address the heart of the matter.
虽然这些工具可能会有帮助，但是我们不要忘记，这个核心的问题在哪里。
The real issue is not merely that man is morally corrupt, or ignorant.
那核心的问题，核心的问题不单是人的无知和他的道德的败坏。
But man is fundamentally disobedient toward God.
但因为人在根本上是对神是悖逆的。
So if we miss this, we miss the very foundation of the gospel message.
如果我们错过这一点的话，我们就错过了福音核心的一个信息。
But praise God, He did not leave.Us in disobedience.
但感谢神，神没有让我们在我们的不顺服的光景当中。
Reconciliation with God, it comes through the obedience of the last Adam, Jesus Christ.
我们与神的和好是借着末后的亚当，我们的主耶稣基督的顺服。
Where the first Adam failed, Jesus fully obeyed.
首先的亚当失败了，但是耶稣却完全的顺服。
So through his obedience,Righteousness has been brought into the world, and through him many are made righteous.
所以借着他的顺服，公义就被带到这个世上，然后借着主耶稣的顺服，很多也被称为义。
So among all the attributes of our Lord, obedience stands at the very foundation.
所以在我们主耶稣所有的性情当中，那顺服是在核心根基的一个。
So the church is built not on talent, but not on knowledge.
所以教会不是建造在知识和才能上面。
It's not built on whether you have a lot of gifts, but it's built on obedience.
也不是建立在你是否很有恩赐的上面，而是建立在你是否顺服。
Where there is obedience, God's purpose can be fulfilled.
当有顺服的时候，神的旨意就可以成就。
So throughout the Bible, we see many examples of men whoReflected disobedience as an expression of Christ's life.
在圣经当中，我们看到很多的例子，就是 人们借着基督生命的表现，他能够彰显出对神的顺服。
We won't study each one today, but I do like to draw our attention today to Moses.
我不会把这些圣经的人物都来查一下，但我们今天特别专注于摩西。
And along with another special group of people.
一群特别的人。
So may their example of obedience instruct and convict our hearts.
但愿他们顺服的例子能够教导我们，让我们的让我们帮助说服我们。
Brother Maurice, he mentioned recently about the priestly garment that Moses needed to prepare for the service.
Maurice 在他分享的时候，最近提醒我们，摩西作为大祭司所要穿的祭司的衣服。
And when we talk about Moses building the tabernacle, one of the famous phrases is according to the pattern shown on the mountain.
我们在读到关于摩西建造会幕的时候，有一个特别的句子，就是说他要照在山上的样式来建造。
And so in the Bible, the phrase according to the pattern shown is mentioned 7 times.
在圣经当中说按照这样山上的样式有提过七次。
5 in the Old Testament.
五次在旧约。
It was all during Moses' building of the tabernacle.
都是在讲到摩西建造会幕的时候。
And 2 appear in the New Testament as quotations from the Old Testament.
另外两处在新约当中来引用旧约的时候。
So the key words here are not the mountain, but rather according to what was shown.
所以这里的重点词汇不是在山上，而是说是按照那里在彰显的样式。
So the emphasis is not on the physical location, but on Moses basing his actions on God's revelation to him.
所以这里的重点不是在那里具体的地理的哪个地点，而是重点在于当摩西，然后他如何对待神对他所有的启示。
So many brothers and sisters like to say that I meet at this fellowship or I attend this conference or that conference.
很多弟兄姊妹说我是在这样的聚会来聚会，我参加这样那样的特会。
Yet in these 7 verses, the focus is not on the place. But it's acting according to what was shown.
所以在这七处的经节当中，它的重点不是在哪里，而是它的重点是在什么被启示、被彰显。
Although God revealed this pattern of the tabernacle to Moses, Moses still had a choice of whether or not he could obey what God showed him.
虽然神已经把会幕的样式启示给摩西，但摩西他仍然面对一个抉择，他是否要遵守神所启示给他的。
Or Moses could choose not to obey what was shown.
或者摩西也可以选择不顺服神所给启示给他的。
But God only wants to dwell in the place which is built according to his will.
但是神只愿意住在那个按照他的旨意所建造的地方。
In Acts 7:22, it tells us that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and it was mighty in words and deeds.
在使徒行传七章二十二节，圣经告诉我们，摩西学了埃及人一切学问，说话行事都有才能。
We know that the Egyptians, they built one of the wonders of the ancient world, the pyramids.
我们知道埃及人建造了古代世界的奇迹之一，就是金字塔。
So Moses, he would have possessed extensive knowledge about architecture and construction.
所以摩西他肯定对于建筑这些工程设计都会有很多的知识。
However, after 40 years of hidden life in the wilderness of Midian,
但是当摩西在米甸旷野有40年隐藏的时间，
Moses learned obedience to God.
摩西学会了对神的顺服。
When he was entrusted with the responsibility of building the tabernacle,
当摩西被给予这样的任务来建造会幕的时候，
he set aside all his worldly knowledge and expertise.
他把他世界上的知识和技能都放在一边。
And in humility, He obeyed exactly what God had shown him, the pattern revealed on the mountain.
在谦卑当中，他就顺服于神在山上所启示给他的样式。
So his pride and his wisdom were broken by God.
所以他的智慧和他的骄傲都已经被神所破碎。
His worldly skills couldn't be used in God's dwelling place.
他在地上的技能，在见到神居住的地方却不能使用。
What seemed valuable once became useless in the presence of God's revelation.
过去可能看的是有价值的，但现在在神的启示面前变得没有用处。
Why did the tabernacle have to be built according to what God showed Moses on the mountain?
为什么会幕要按着神在山上向摩西所启示的样式建造呢？
As Brother Kong explained in his book, According to the Pattern on the Mountain,
江弟兄有一本书是说按照山上的样式。
All spiritual matters must follow the pattern revealed on the mountain.
江弟兄跟我们讲说所有属灵的事情都必须根据在山上的启示。
This is an unchangeable principle.
这是一个不可改变的原则。
So without following God's pattern or obeying his instructions,
要是没有根据神的启示样式然后顺服于神的指教。
Our labors or works cannot fully satisfy him or be accepted by him.
那么我们的劳碌我们的工作就不能够完全满足神也不能被神所接受。
I know our brothers and sisters are familiar with the Bible, so I want to ask you a question.
我知道弟兄姊妹对圣经都很熟想问你们一个问题。
Who is a special group of people that keep a vow before God by not drinking wine?
谁是在神面前那个特别的一群人他们不喝酒呢？
I think you know, they are the Nazarites.
我相信大家都知道呢，就是拿细耳人。
The word Nazarite comes from the Hebrew Nazir, which means consecrated or separated.
拿细耳人是从希伯来文拿细耳这个意思来的，那意思就是说是分别出来归神为圣的。
A Nazarite was somebody who willingly set himself or herself apart for God.
拿细耳人就是他自愿的为着神被分别出来。
Numbers chapter 6 speaks in detail about the Nazarite vow.
在民数记第六章有很详细的记述拿细耳人的愿。
Verses 1 through 4 we see that the vow was a voluntary offering to God.
从第一节到第四节我们看到他这个拿细耳人的愿是对神一个自发的自愿的许的愿。
It's a decision to be separated unto the Lord.
他就有这样的决定为了耶和华他要离俗归耶和华。
By taking the vow of a Nazarite, a person declares that I belong to God in a special way, so they set their life apart for his purpose.
当一个人有许这个拿细耳人的愿的时候他就说我要为神被特别的分别所以他们的生活生命被分别为着神的旨意。
And I especially remember those who are deciding to be baptized very soon that they are in fact making that vow before the Lord.
我特别纪念那些决定要受浸可能很快就要受浸弟兄姊妹他们实际上就是在神面前有许这样的愿。
So most of you can probably name the Nazarites who are mentioned in the Bible.
大家都可能提起在圣经中提过的拿细耳人。
There are at least three Nazarites in the Bible.
在圣经当中至少有记下三个拿细耳人。
Two in the Old Testament, the Samson and the prophet Samuel.
有两个在旧约当中就是三孙还有就是撒母耳先知。
One in the New Testament, John the Baptist.
在新约当中就是施洗约翰。
So we also recall the Apostle Paul, who fulfilled the vow by cutting his hair.
我们记着使徒保罗他也有因为许愿然后剪他的头发。
Yeah, so during the period of the vow, a Nazarite was required to observe three restrictions.
在许愿的时候，一个拿细耳人，他们有三样的注意的事项。
So, they have to abstain from grape products. They cannot cut their hair, and they also have to avoid contacts with corpses.
他们要拒绝接触一切跟葡萄有关的饮料、酒什么的，而且他们也不能够剪他们头发，而且他们要不能够接触任何的死尸。
So this vow of separation was not forever.
这一个许的愿，分别的愿不是永远的。
Yeah, it had an appointed time of fulfillment.
它有一段的时间就是许愿的时间。
When the days of the vow were complete, the Nazarite would bring a sin offering and a burnt offering to the priest to complete the vow.
当许愿的时间结束的时候。那个拿细耳人会带一个赎罪祭，还有一个燔祭，回到祭司那里来完全这个许愿。
And after that, the Nazarites were free to drink wine again.
在这之后，拿细耳人他就可以再来喝酒。
So let me ask you another question. Do you know that there's another group of people that's recorded in the Bible who committed themselves to abstain from wine, not just for a season?But for their entire lives and from generation to generation.
大家知道在圣经中还有一群人，他们不但是这个一段时间有这样拿细耳人的愿，而在他们一生当中，或者从一代一代当中，他们都向耶和华有这样的守这样的愿。
And who are these people?
这些人是谁呢？
They're called the house of the Rechabites.
他就是Rechabite的家人。
立长。
So,
who are the Rechabites?
谁是这些利甲族人呢？
We can quickly review their history in the Bible.
我们可以看见他们在圣经中的历史，我们很简单的讲一下。
Yeah, the Rechabites were descendants of Rechab from the Kenites, who are a nomadic non-Israelite people.
这个利甲族呢，是在圣经当中，他是。是在不是在以色列百姓当中，他是在那里的一些游牧的人。
The Kenites, they can trace their lineage to Jethro, who was Moses' father-in-law and also the priest of Midian.
他们可以追踪到摩西的岳父，然后呢，他是在基甸那里。
Because of this relationship.They allied themselves with Israel, and they settled in the southern wilderness of Judah.
因着他们这样的缘故，他们就跟以色列百姓结盟，他们也住在犹大的南部的旷野里。
So the Kenites, they first appear in Genesis 15:19.
他们这个最早的提到是在创世纪15:19。
And when God promised Abram the land that included the territory of the Kenites.
当神应许亚伯拉罕的地包括 Kenites 的基尼人的地的时候。
So throughout Israel's history, they remain closely connected to God's people.
在以色列的历史当中，他们与神的百姓是很紧密的相连的。
So the book of Judges tells us that the Kenites, they lived among the people of Judah.
在士师记里面告诉我们说基尼人他们住在与犹太人住在一起。
In Judges 4, we have a memorable story of Jael, who was the wife of Heber the Kenite.
在士师记第四章我们有讲到雅裔的故事。他是基尼人西百之妻。
Yes, she was used by God to kill Sisera, who was the commander of the Canaanite army, by driving a tent peg into his temple.
神就使用他杀到了迦南人的首领西西拉，他是用一个帐篷的橛子，然后从他的枕边钉过去。
So remember, the Canaanites were nomadic.And they traveled in tents, so Jael was familiar with handling tent pegs.
我们知道基尼人他们是游牧的民族，他们是在住帐篷的， 所以呢，雅意他会知道怎样使用这个帐篷的橛子。
So just as an aside, the next time you go camping, I believe the sisters should try to set up the tents.
就是讲一个笑话，就是说下一次呢，我们如果去野营的时候，姊妹们应该学习如何来把立起来帐篷。
You can pick up the hammer and drive the tent pegs.
你可以拿着锤子把这个帐篷的这种橛子钉子把它钉下去。
So JL's action led to Israel's deliverance from the Canaanite oppression.
所以雅意他这样的行为就让以色列百姓从迦南人的压制下面得到释放解救。
We know later during King Saul's battle against Amalek, Saul spared the Canaanites.
我们知道当扫罗王跟亚玛利人征战的时候，扫罗就是让留下了基密人。
And in 1 Samuel 15, he said to them that you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt.
在撒母耳记上15:6，扫罗对基密人提到说，当以色列人出埃及的时候，你们曾恩待他们。
So their kindness to the Israelites were remembered and honored.
所以他们基密人对以色列人他们的友善和帮助神也纪念他们。
So also we learn from 1 Chronicles 2, they tell us that the Kenites, including the house of Rahab, they were intermarried with Judah.
在历代志上也讲到说他们也是与犹大人之间有通婚。
And they served as scribes before the captivity.
然后在被掳之前，这些人都作为文士。
So in summary, the Rechabites, they came from the Kenites, they are nomadic in origin.
所以就讲到总结来说，这些利甲人，他们从基尼人出来，他们是游牧民族。
And they allied with Israel.And they intermarried with Judah, and they served as scribes.
然后呢，他们呢，就是与犹太人之间通婚，然后呢，他们作为文士在那里服侍。
So now that we understand who the Rechabites were, let's turn to the spiritual significance of their obedience.
现在我们知道这些利甲人是哪里，我们看到他们在属灵上的顺服的意义价值。
And try to understand what it says to the church today.
我们通过这一个故事来理解，这样就是今天教会应当他们的信息对教会说的什么。
So in 2 Kings 10, we have a special story about Jehu, who was the king of Israel.
在《列王记下》第十章那里有一个特别的故事，讲到耶户。
He was the king of Israel.
他是以色列的王。
And he invited Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, to join him on the way to Samaria.
他请利甲的儿子约拿丹来跟他在一起。
约拿达。Yes. So Jehu, he called on Jehonadab to witness his zeal for the Lord as he destroyed the worshippers of Baal in the temple of Baal.
所以当耶户就问约拿达说当我去杀了那些撒玛利亚那些巴利的侍奉的巴利的那些祭司的时候，他是否跟他同心。
So Jehonadab, he formed a coalition with Jehu and supported the king's deceptive strategy.
所以约拿达就和耶户联合，然后呢，他们一同有这样的策略来这个击杀这些巴利的先知。
Because Jehu was intended to destroy the worshippers of Baal completely.
因为耶户就想要完全的把那些敬拜巴利的人都除灭掉。
So although scripture gave us limited detail about Jehonadab.It clearly showed that he stood with Jehu against Baal worship, out of his faithfulness to the true God.
虽然圣经里对于约拿达并没有太多的描述，但我们知道他和耶户联合向神忠心，然后去除灭那些敬拜巴利的人。
And then we have to go, move forward 240 years later.
然后我们要再向前，再过了250年所发生的事。
This was the time before Judah was to fall to the Babylonians.
这是在犹大被巴比伦被掳之前的事情。
God asked the prophet Jeremiah to set up a similar test.
神让先知耶利米设立了这样的一个试验。
And this time the test was for the descendants of Jehoiada to examine their faithfulness.
这一次的试验就是试验来约拿达他的后裔们，看他们是怎么样忠心的。
And it's a very interesting story we can read in Jeremiah 35.
这里是一个很有趣的故事，我们可以读耶利米书35章。
If you look at verse 2, the Lord said to Jeremiah, Go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink.
第二节他说，你去见利甲族的人，和他们说话，领他们进入耶和华殿的一间屋子，给他们酒喝。
Remember in 2 Kings 10,All the worshippers of Baal were gathered into the temple so that no one was left out.
我们记得在列王记下第二章那里讲到说，所有的拜巴利的人都聚集在那里，没有一个逃脱。
So in a similar way, in Jeremiah 35, it says that Jeremiah brought the entire house of the Rechabites into the house of the Lord.
所以在耶利米书这里就讲到耶利米把所以利甲族的人，他们整个的族都领到了神的殿里。
And in verse 5, Jeremiah set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups. And I said to them, drink wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever.
然后在第五节的时候耶利米就在利甲族人面前摆设了盛满酒的碗和杯，对他们说，请你们喝酒，他们却说，我们不喝酒，因为我们先祖利甲的儿子约拿达曾吩咐我们说，你们与你们子孙永不可喝酒。
But it's Jonadab and what we read earlier, Jehonadab, they're the same person.
这里说那个约拿达和我们之前所提到的那个约拿达是同一个人。
So in verse 12, and we want to read this section from verse 12 to 16. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will you not receive instruction to obey my words? Says the Lord, The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed.But to this day, they drink none, and obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early, sending them, saying, Turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear.Nor obeyed me. Surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not obeyed me.
我们读一下第十六节到第十九节。耶和华的话临到耶利米说：万军之耶和华以色列的神如此说：你去对犹大人和耶路撒冷的居民说，耶和华说：你们不受教训，不听从我的话吗？利甲的儿子约拿达所吩咐他子孙不可喝酒的话。他们已经遵守，直到如今也不喝酒，因为他们听从先祖的吩咐。我从早起来警戒你们，你们却不听从我。我从早起来差遣我的仆人众先知去说，你们个人当回头离开恶道，改正行为，不随从侍奉别神，就必住在我所赐给你们和你们列祖的地上。只是你们却并没有听从我，也没有侧耳听。利甲的儿子约拿达的子孙能遵守先人所吩咐他们 们的命令，这百姓却没有听从我。
So God used Jonadab, the son of Rechab, to contrast with the people of Judah for their unbelief and disobedience.
所以神就是用神用约拿达利甲人的后裔的例子告诉以色列百姓，他们虽然顺服神，但以色列百姓却不顺服神。
God was pleased with the obedience of the Rechabites.
神喜悦利甲族人他们对先祖吩咐的忠心。
So in Jeremiah 35 verse 19, this is an important verse. So perhaps we can look at that. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever.
所以这里19节这里是一个重点的经节，我们读一下。万军之耶和华以色列的神如此说，因利甲的儿子约拿达的子孙遵守他们先祖的吩咐，谨守他的一切诫命，照他所吩咐他们的去行，所以万军之耶和华以色列的神如此说，利甲的儿子约拿达必永不缺人，势力在我面前。
Remember the Rechabites, they were not Israelites, but through their obedience God promised them that they will always stand before the Lord.
我们看到利甲族的人，他们并不是以色列人，但是因着他们的顺服，神就纪念他们，让他们永不缺人，势力在神的面前。
Well, brothers and sisters, do you desire to serve and stand before God forever?
弟兄姊妹们，你是否有这样的心愿，能够站立在神的面前来服侍神永远呢？
If your answer is yes, as mine is,then we must obey his commandments and pass them on to our entire households and to our future generations.
弟兄姊妹们，如果你和我一样，我们是像永远侍立在神面前侍奉神的时候，我们必须要遵行神的旨意，然后也教导我们的儿女，我们子子孙孙都遵行神的旨意。
We must teach our children to teach their children and their children's children to remain faithful and obedient to the word.As Jonadab, son of Rechab, did.
我们必须来教导我们的儿女，而且让他们教导他们的儿女，就是我们要遵行主所吩咐我们的话，就好像利甲的儿子约拿单的子孙们遵守他们先祖的吩咐。
So God used the long-term obedience of the Rechabite clan to their ancestors' command to teach us about obedience.
所以神就用利甲族他们遵守先祖的吩咐的例子来教导我们如何来顺服。
And also taught us about faithfulness across generations.
然后也教导我们如何在不同的世代当中也能够保持忠心。
The Rechabites' obedience was a strong contrast to the disobedient Judah at the time.
利甲族人他们对他们的忠心与那个时候犹大支派的不忠形成鲜明的对比。
It was like a light shining into the darkness.
这好像是一个光照在了黑暗当中。
But only people like this can serve God continually. It's those who simply obey the Lord and pass that obedience on from generation to generation.
但是只有那些向主忠心顺服于神的，而且把这些忠心教导于一代又一代教导的，能够如此来侍奉神。
Moses obeyed the Lord's revelation by building the tabernacle in his generation.
摩西在他的世代当中遵从主的启示来建造了会幕。
And the Rechabites were obedient to their forefathers.And they faithfully passed that obedience down through the generations.
利甲族的子孙们也遵守先祖的吩咐，然后谨守教导他们将来的世代。
So with the 10 minutes or so that we remain, we want to share on the second attribute of our Lord, which is the quietness.
我们还有十分钟的时间，我们来用这十分享来主的第二个特性，关于他的安静。
So we read from Isaiah 53 that before, just like a sheep before its shearers is silent, our Lord opened not his mouth.
我们读到以赛亚书53章，讲到主耶稣像羊在剪毛人的手下无声，我们主也是这样不开口。
This passage is also quoted in the book of Acts.
这段经节也是在《使徒行传》当中有提到。
When the Holy Spirit led Philip to the road of Gaza, he was instructed to preach the gospel to this eunuch.
当这一个太监到从耶路撒冷到加萨的路上的时候，神使用腓力对他来传福音。
And as Philip approached and caught up to the eunuch's chariot, he heard the eunuch reading from Isaiah 53.
当腓力跑到太监的贴近太监的车的时候，他听在太监正在念先知以赛亚的书。
This prophecy was written by Isaiah some 700-800 years before the events recorded in Acts, and it was very difficult for the eunuch to understand.
那个太监在读以赛亚书，这里本以赛亚书是在这个事情发生之前700年所发生的事情，所记下来的书。那里面所讲的预言对这个太监很难懂。
So he asked Philip, whether the scripture was talking about the prophet Isaiah himself, or was it about someone else?
所以这太监就问腓力说，这里所记载的话是指着先知以赛亚他自己呢，还指着别人？
So from the eunuch's perspective, it was hard to comprehend that the anointed king, the Messiah, would suffer in such a way.
对于太监，他很难想象说，那受膏的弥赛亚会这样受苦。
In his view, shouldn't the king be glorious, like the ruler that he served, which was the Queen Candace?
在他的心当中，他就想说，会不会，弥赛亚，是受膏的，是否是会像他所服侍的王那样，像？像在埃提阿伯女王女王甘大基手下的那样的。
So Philip seized this opportunity to preach Jesus to him, and he explained to him that the Messiah is a suffering king, who was silent.
所以腓力就用抓住这样的机会，把耶稣传讲给他，对他解释弥赛亚是一个受苦的君王。
And the king who was silent, and he obeyed God's will.
而且我们这个王是一个安静的王，他来顺服神的旨意。
And he willingly endured oppression and affliction.
他就情愿地忍受痛苦和压迫。
Jesus Christ took on humanity and willingly went to the cross for all of us.
耶稣基督披戴上我们的人性，他是自愿地为着我们所有的人上的十字架。
So in our understanding, a king usually sits on a throne and issues commands that everyone has to obey.
在我们的头脑当中，我们觉得一个王应该是坐在宝座上，他所发号的施令，所有人都要顺从。
And when a king speaks, no one dares to argue or oppose him.
当一个王说话的时候，没有人可以跟他辩论或者反对他。
Yet Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, he did not open his mouth, instead he remained silent.
但是主耶稣，我们的基督弥赛亚，他没有开嘴，与其说话，他一直保持沉默。
The foundation of the church should be this attribute of Jesus, his silence and submission.
教会的一个根基应该是一个耶稣基督这样的一个性情，就是他的安静和他的顺服。
When we look at church history, we see there are many conflicts and struggles.
当我们看教会的历史，我们发现那里有很多的问题和挣扎。
Often they arise because none of the parties were willing to be silent.
很多时候这些事情发生，就是因为参与的这些不同的，像不同的派系，他们都不愿意是安静的。
But they insisted on defending their own biblical interpretations or beliefs against each other.
但是他们都强调来守护他们对圣经的理解，然后或者是自己的信仰，然后彼此来在那争论。
We realize we have often forgotten an important scripture from 1 Kings 6.
我们常常忘记一个很重要的经节，就是《列王记上》第六章里的经节。
Verse 7, It describes the building of Solomon's temple, and I'll read for you. The temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built.
我们读一下列王记上六章七节，建殿是用山棕凿成的石头，建殿的时候锤子、斧子和别样铁器的声响声都没有听见。
So this reminds us that God's dwelling place is built not through noise or conflict, but through quiet obedience and submission to His will.
所以这就提醒我们说，神所居住的地方不是那里充满着噪音和争闹，而是通过神的，通过那里安静的顺服和对他旨意的降服来建造的。
So what do the hammer, the chisel, and the iron tool symbolize in this passage?
在这段经节中，这里讲到说，锤子、斧子和别样的铁器在这里代表着什么呢
？So to understand this, we have to go back to Genesis 4 and see who is described as the originator and instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron.
我们就需要回到创世纪第四章，看到这里描述谁是那起初建造铜器和铁器的人。
And his name is Tubal-Cain.
他的名字就是土巴该隐。
So Tubal-Cain was the seventh generation from Adam, and he came from the lineage of Cain.
土巴该隐是从该隐的后裔，他是是第七代的。
从亚当。
从亚当 ，OK。
After Cain killed Abel, God gave Adam another son to replace Abel, and he called him Seth.
亚伯杀害了该隐之后呢，然后呢，神又给了撒特给了亚当。
So from that point on, there were two distinct lineages that emerged.
所以从那之后就有两个分开的这种好像是代系传下来。
The lineage of Cain, it became increasingly inventive and resourceful.
亚该的后裔呢，就是他们发现了又开始有很多的创造，然后有很多的资源。
And Cain, this is the lineage of Cain, it became aggressive and combative.
然后呢Cain 的后代呢该隐的后代呢就是变得好像很多更多的征战。
But in contrast, there is the lineage of Seth, which is like Abel, it was marked by those who pursued God.
但是赛特的后裔呢就像亚伯的后裔呢他们就是一直是来寻求神的后裔。
Seth has a son, Enosh,who represented this turning point.
然后呢赛特呢他有一个后裔叫以诺士以诺士的后以诺后裔以诺。
And because it was in his days that people began to call upon the name of the Lord.
因为在他的时候呢人在那时候开始来呼求神的名。
So as generations passed, these two lineages, they grew further apart.
随着世代的进行，这两个好像不同的支派这样，不同的世代就越来不相同了。
By the fifth generation of Cain and the fifth generation of Seth, the contrast was especially clear through two men.
然后到该隐的第五个世代或者是到赛特第六世代之后他们就是有两个人在这里有非常强烈的一个对比。
One is Lamech, who is a descendant of Cain.
一个是拉麦是该隐的后裔。
And the other is Enoch, who is a descendant of Seth.
还有一个是赛特的后裔以诺。
Lamech, he was even more violent than Cain.
这个拉麦呢比该隐更加的凶残。
He boasted that if Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold.
他讲到说若杀该隐遭报七倍那杀拉麦必遭报七十七倍。
But Enoch, from the same generation, but a different lineage, he walked with God for 300 years.
但是以诺呢，其实他们是同一世代的人，但是他却与神同行300年。
And he lived a life that fulfilled God's purpose for men to be fruitful and multiply.
所以他的生活就完成了神对人的心意，让他们在地上生养众多。
So the lineage of Cain came to symbolize the flesh.
所以该隐那一个那一派呢一个是那一派相当代表了肉体。
While the lineage of Seth symbolized the spirit.
然后赛特呢这一个传承呢他们代表了圣灵。
So Tubal-Cain, he was the son of Lamech.
土巴该隐他是拉麦的儿子。
So he's described as the originator and instructor of tools made of bronze and iron.
他被称为是打造各样铜铁猎器的祖师。
These tools are primarily used for hunting or fighting wars.
这些工具主要是用来狩猎或者在征战的时候用的。
And they represent human strength and self-reliance.
它们代表着说人的力量和我们依靠自己的力量。
So they symbolize the way of the flesh and man used to control and dominate.
它就代表了好像对于肉体的人肉体的方式人用来这个来控制来压迫别人。
So the word Tubal, it means earth or world.
这里讲 Tubal, 土巴就讲到说地属地的意思这个世界的意思。
So we can see how this hammering or chiseling and iron tools, they represent the way of the flesh and the world.
所以我们就可以看到这里这个锤子斧头和这些铁器它们代表那个肉体在地上的工作。
Yep, so we read earlier in 1 Kings that the stones used to build the temple were finished at the quarry in the mountains.
我们读列王记上刚才的第六章讲到说建殿是用山中凿成的石头。
But only after that work was completed were the stones brought to the temple site and assembled.
只有当这些工作完成的时候这些石头会运到圣殿山在那里被建造起来。
So as a result, there was no sound of hammer, chisel or iron tools heard at the temple while it was being built.
所以这样的结果就是建殿的时候没有任何的锤子斧子和铁器的声响。
Brothers and sisters, a hammer, we use a hammer to strike or to oppress.
弟兄姊妹们，我们用锤子来击打，来打碎东西。
We use a chisel to carve and to shape.
我们用锯子、斧子，然后把东西切成我们要的样子。
And iron tools we use to cut and dig.
我们还有用铁器，然后用来挖掘。
These tools we use in everyday life, but they can also represent how we treat one another with our words and actions.
这些工具的确在我们生活当中我们会用到，但它也可能代表着我们如何用我们的话语来我们的行动对待我们身边的人。
Have you ever been hammered by somebody's harsh treatment or their words?
你有没有被别人的话语好像锤子一样伤到呢？
Or have you been the one doing that hammering?
还是你是用这个锤子打别人的人呢？
Or have any sharp words been used like a chisel to carve you?
你有没有用一些很尖锐的话像斧子把别人切开切到呢？
Or perhaps you've used them on others.
或者别人这样对待你或者你用在别人身上。
Have you been cut?Or dug into so deeply that it caused pain and lasting wounds.
你是否也被别人所伤到，然后伤到这么深，然后这些痛苦伤痛一直在那里呢？
So, brothers and sisters, when I look around in this gathering,
弟兄姊妹们，当我们看到我们在聚集的弟兄姊妹的时候
，I see there are many gifted and capable people that are among us.
我看到在我们当中有很多有恩赐很有能力的人。
But when we come into the house of God, do we bring our hammer, chisel, or iron tools with us?
但是当我们来到神的殿的时候，我们是否神的家的时候，是否拿这锤子、斧子和别样的铁器呢？
So, Brother Dana, he mentioned that the churches today are mostly blind to the way God builds His church.
Dana 弟兄曾经提过说，今天的教会对于神如何建造他自己的教会是瞎眼的。
As man likes to build with man's doctrines or methods.
我们人常常用着人的教义和人的方法来建造教会。
So let's remember that God's house is built not through harsh words or man's flesh.
但是让我们记得，神的殿、神的家不是用人尖锐的话语和人的肉体来建造。
Oh, but through love and humility and quiet submission to God's Spirit.
乃是借着爱、借着谦卑和对于神的话、圣灵、神的话语的顺服。
So let's allow God to shape us at the quarry of life.
但愿神让我们在生命的采石场当中被神所塑造。
So that when we are assembled together, His house can be built in quietness, peace, and unity.
所以当我们被聚集在一起的时候，他的家可以在安静、平安和合一当中被建造。
Yeah, I think we're way past our time, but I do want brothers and sisters to see how we ought to conduct ourselves as the Lord builds His church.
的确，虽然我们时间已经过了，但是我真的盼望着弟兄姊妹能够看到神的心意，如何他在他的家中建造他的教会。
Jesus, our Lord's silence, as revealed in Scripture, is foundational to the life of the church.
我们主耶稣在圣经当中所让我们看见他的安静，应当是教会生活的一个核心。
So the church as a body, we should be humble before God and remain silent before Him.
所以教会作为基督的身体，我们应该在神的面前是谦卑的，也在神的面前是安静的。
So remember, we are the petrels, like the little pebbles within our rock Petra.
大家记得，我们是那些小石头，是在那个大我们的磐石当中的 Petra。
We share the same origin and material God uses to build His church.
我们都分享的是同样的源头，同样的材料，就是神所使用要建造他的教会的。
So just as Christ humbled Himself, He became obedient to the point of death.
就像基督他谦卑自己，在神面前谦卑以至于死。
So we also learn obedience by forsaking the ways and knowledge that we learn in this world.
他顺服以至死，那么我们也当在神的面前能够放下这个我们在这世界当中学到的方法和知识，然后学会顺服。
And then we have to follow that pattern that was shown to Moses on the mountain.
我们也要跟随着神在山上所启示摩西的样式。
Only when we obey God's command, pass them on to our next generation, can we stand and serve God forever.
只有当我们顺服神的吩咐旨意，然后将他们传到我们的后裔的时候，我们才能够永远在神面前站立和服侍。
And finally, as the Lord Jesus was oppressed and afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth.
最后，像主耶稣他在受压和受苦的时候，但是他就不开口。
We also learn to not defend ourselves whenever we are challenged, but we choose to be silent.
我们要学习当我们面对争议的时候，我们不要在那里为自己辩驳，我们选择安静。
The moment that we choose to not open our mouths is when we as petrels are being finished at God's quarry.
当我们选择不开我们的口的时候，我们就好像这些小的石头在神的采石场已经被预备好了。
As no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built.
就好像在建圣殿的时候，没有锤子、斧子和别样铁器的响声。
But the church is built not upon man's opinions and worldly ways, but through prayers and waiting for His voice.
教会的建造不是按照人的想法和世界的方法，而是借着祷告和在神面前神话等候神的话语。
Oh Lord, we're so thankful that on this rock, you will build your church.
主，我们何等的感恩，在这磐石上你建造你的教会。
Oh Lord, you have given us while we are still disobedient to you, Lord, you came and saved us.
主啊，当我们还在背逆的时候，你就来拯救了我们。
Lord, you obeyed the Father's will, and Lord, you gave your life on the cross.
主，你顺服父神的旨意，你在十字架上舍了你的生命。
Oh Lord, and you gave the commands to us to love you and to follow you.
主，你吩咐我们来爱你，来跟随你。
Oh Lord, you also given us your life so that we can learn to obey you.
主，你也把你的生命赐给了我们，让我们能够来顺服你。
Oh Lord, we also want to be silent before the Lord because the Lord is in His temple.
主啊，我们也要学习在你面前安静，因为主在他的殿里。
Oh Lord, we praise God, we rejoice because our Lord is in the temple and He is in full control.
主，我们要赞美你，因为你在耶和华在他的殿当中，万事都在你的统管之下。
Lord, so we wait for you. Lord, will you show us, Lord, your heart and your will for your church in this age?
所以主，我们在你面前等候，我们求你在现在的时代将你的心意向你的教会来启示。
Oh, bless your people, that we can, our hearts are drawn to you and that we will follow you faithfully.
主啊，祝福你自己的教会，让我们的心意能够跟随你，我们可以忠心的来跟随你。
We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name.
我们感谢主，赞美主，是奉靠耶稣基督的名祷告。
Amen.
Amen.